ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री ब्रह्म संहिता Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, Chapter 5, Text 45. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat. Sanjayate nahi tatav prithakasti hetoh. Yah shambhutam api tatha samupaiti karyat. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat. Sanjayate nahi tatav prithakasti hetoh. Yah shambhutam api tatha samupaiti karyat. Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither the same as nor different from its cause, namely milk, so I adore the primeval Lord, Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. Do you have a Tamil Brahma Samhita with you? I would think it's quite difficult to translate just offhand. That's just one sentence right there. Today is Shivratri, according to the calendar that we follow. Is it Shivratri? Today is the festival in Tamil Nadu also. All right. Often the various calendars coincide, and often they don't also. But today does coincide. We are Vaishnavas, or aspiring to be Vaishnavas, servants of the Vaishnavas. Lord Shiva is famous as the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. A Vaishnava is defined as Vishnu Asya Devata Iti Vaishnava, one for whom Vishnu is the worshipable Lord, is known as a Vaishnava. That's the most simple definition. What is nowadays called Hindu society has always been in various divisions or sampradayas, which, although divided in many ways, also to a large extent follow the same culture. One of the main divisions has been between Vaishnavas and Shaivas. Not that there's always been a division. Here in what is now called Tamil Nadu, there was at one point a sharp division. In between Vaishnavas and Shaivas when Ramanujacharya was present. That was a very, one king was the Krimikanta. He got given that name, Worm Throat, because he had some infection in his throat. So his devotion for Lord Shiva was manifested in hating Vaishnavas. But generally throughout India, another point is that at Tiruvannamalai, where there's famous Shiva temple, that was originally a Krishna temple, and the land is still in the name of Krishna, but the temple is a major Shaiva pilgrimage place. Other major, there are many Shaiva pilgrimage places in what is now known as Tamil Nadu. Chidambaram, Madurai, later. That Madurai temple is not so old. That temple which is known as Meenakshi temple, although the Shiva is also there, as Sundaresha. But of course there are many Vishnu temples also. But in other parts of India, it hasn't been such a division. In North India, and not such a division. Tulsidas is Ramcharitmanas. He worships Lord Rama and he worships Lord Shiva also. Shiva is a great devotee of Rama. So when I say there's a division, yeah, but not a divisive division in many cases. Many people think that Shiva is supreme and not Vishnu is supreme. Generally the Shaivas think like that. Although generally the Shaivas, they tend toward the impersonalism, ultimately. Very big famous temple also of Shiva is in Kanchi, Ekambareshwar, or Ekambanatha, both names are given. So right in front of that huge temple in which there's also a Sri Vaishnav Divya Desha right in the Shiva temple, is the Kamakoti Pitam of the Shankaracharya. So they're supposed to be worshippers of Shiva, although one of their mottos is Shivoham. I'm Shiva. Ambitious. So it's a definite difference of outlook. The Gaurya Vaishnav understanding is here in this verse of Brahma Samhita, which we generally recite when we visit Shiva temples. Although it's not actually a prayer to Lord Shiva, it's a prayer to Krishna. But it describes Lord Shiva in relationship to Krishna. Govinda is Adi Purusha. He's the original personality of Godhead. Shiva is also widely known as Parameshwar. Vishnu is also known as Parameshwar. The supreme controller. So you can only have one supreme controller. So who's who? Is Shiva supreme or Vishnu supreme? It's a big question, often asked question. The last time I was here, we had a public program and someone asked this question in the public program. So you may remember I answered that by saying that, well, in one sense, Shiva is the supreme controller. It depends on your vision or how broad your vision is. For people in the jail, they don't know anyone. They don't know what's going on outside the jail. As far as they're concerned, the jail superintendent is the supreme controller. those or someone living in a village, they think the sarpanch or the zamindar is the supreme controller, the supreme person. But as their knowledge broadens, they may find out that the supreme controller or the highest political post in Tamil Nadu is that of the chief minister. Although theoretically the governor is higher, but for day-to-day matters, the chief minister is supreme. Then you may find out there's a chief minister of the state, but there's a prime minister of the country. So the prime minister is the supreme controller. So like that, according to how far we understand, our understanding of who is the supreme controller may vary. But if when we come to the full understanding, we understand that Krishna is the supreme controller. Shiva is the supreme controller within the material world under license from Krishna. So let's discuss this position. What is the position of Lord Shiva? Is he Vishnu Tattva? No. Is he Jiva Tattva? No. Then what is he? Shiva Tattva. He's in his own special position. He's many places in Shastra say that Vishnu and Shiva are the same, and to differentiate between them is an offense. But still there's some differentiation. Otherwise, why different names, different roles, different personalities, different wives? Some difference is there. We can't say that Lakshmi is the wife of Shiva. If you say there's no difference between Vishnu and Shiva, but it's not a fact that Lakshmi is the wife of Shiva, or that Shiva is Vaikunthanath, it would be a mistake to say so. So sameness is there, but difference is also there. Shiva is an expansion of Vishnu. In one sense, everyone's an expansion of Vishnu, but we are jivas, we are vibhinaksha, we are separate parts of Krishna. Mamai vangsho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana. All living beings are part and parcel of Krishna eternally. But Shiva is not a jiva, but he's also not exactly the same as Vishnu. He contacts directly the material energy, unlike Vishnu, who does not. So here it's in this verse it's described that Shambhu, the example is given, just like milk and yogurt. Now if we say yogurt is nothing but milk, yogurt is milk, but at the same time it's different from milk. It is milk, but it's different from milk. There's some specific difference. In this verse comes the word yogurt, so some people might think that the word yogurt is there, but this yogurt, it means by the application. The word for yogurt in Sanskrit as given here is dadhi. Dadhi. So in the same way that milk is transformed into yogurt by some specific process, some specific change. Vikara means change. Vishesha means specific or special. Yogat by the application of. So Lord Shiva is Vishnu, almost Vishnu. Milk can be transformed into yogurt, but yogurt cannot be transformed into milk. So, which is the original? The milk? They're the same, but still there's some difference. And milk is the original. So in the same way, Vishnu is original. And Lord Shiva has some specific purpose to perform. He's practically on the level of Vishnu, but He has work to do in the matter of the material energy. He's the husband of the material energy, who is Durga. Durga means prison. She's a personified prison. And of course, she has many, many other names also. As, for instance, given in Sri Lalita Sahasranama of Brahmanda Purana, the thousand names of Lalita. Gaurya Vaishnavas, when we think of Lalita, we think of Gopi, but it's a very common name in India, and generally the parents who give it, if they're not from Bengal, they may be Shaktas in Bengal also who give it, considering this is, anyway, they probably don't consider anything nowadays, but it's generally known as one of the famous names of Durga. Durga, Parvati, Himavati, Bhuvaneshwari. There's so many names that in Bhagavatam, the sister of Krishna is told she'll have so many names. Narayani, Vaishnavi. Anyway, let's not talk about it. That's another whole big subject. So, this verse is explained by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his purport, which I'll read. It's written in English, and I'll do my best to translate it into English. Because it's typical of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His language is such tough English that it needs some further explanation. Actually, this was, as far as we're told, written under his direction by his one disciple, Professor Nishikant Sanyal, otherwise known as Narayan Das Adhikari Bhakti Sudhakar Prabhu. So, the purport begins. The real nature of Shambhu, the presiding deity of Mahesh Dham, is described. Okay. Doesn't need translation. That's fairly easy. Shambhu is not a second Godhead other than Krishna. Those who entertain such discriminating sentiment commit a great offense against the Supreme Lord. So here it's said that anyone who thinks that Shambhu is a second Godhead, that he's on the same level as Krishna, they make a great offense. The supremacy of Shambhu is subservient to that of Govinda. So yes, Shiva is Parameshwar, Govinda is Parameshwar, but it's something like you have in a big airplane, you have a pilot and a co-pilot. What does that mean? Means that there's a senior pilot and a junior pilot. So they're both pilots, but one is superior. So in the same way, Lord Shiva can be considered supreme, but it should be understood how he is supreme. He is assisting Lord Vishnu. And particularly for persons in the material world, they tend to see Shiva as supreme because they see his effect more. He being the husband of the goddess of the material world. So in this material world, everything is always changing. Adhibhutang sharo bhavaha. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the material nature is constantly changing. So that means whatever is there now is gone. By the time I say the word now and the sound reaches your ear, that sound is actually gone. It's changed. The form that it was in, to reach your ear, it has to change. It's not exactly the same. And anyway, I'll talk more about that at midday. So that means whatever was there is gone. I mean, everything is constantly being destroyed. Nitya pralaya. Yeah. Various kinds of destruction which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto. There's nitya pralaya, which means everything is always being destroyed. Naimittik, there is the occasional destructions, unusual destructions. Then, what is that? Mahapralaya, the destruction of the whole universe. And there is the ultimate one, which is called what? I can't remember. Antim pralaya. What is that? That means the destruction of material existence, going back home, back to Godhead. So four kinds of destruction are there. So Lord Shiva is, he's there, he's overseeing as the overseer of tamoguna, of the mode of ignorance. He oversees destruction, which is the inherent principle of the material world. Of course, creation is there. The creation is followed by destruction, is followed by creation, is followed by destruction. But the nature of the material world is more one of destruction than creation, in the sense that everything that's created has to be destroyed, but it's not that everything that's destroyed gets recreated. The creation brings hope for the living being, and destruction makes him disappointed. So, Lord Shiva, he is supreme in one sense, but subservient to Govinda. Hence, they are not really different from each other. They're both supreme in one sense, but Shiva's supremacy is subservient to that of Govinda. Govinda is ultimately supreme, but Lord Shiva is seen as supreme, and he is supreme in the sense Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. He's considered the greatest Vaishnava. So you may say, well, what about Hanuman? What about Arjuna? What about the gopis of Vrindavan? So again, we can say for persons who are in material consciousness, just like in that same verse, what is that? Kshetranam Param Kashi, something. That among the holy places, Varanasi is considered supreme. But then we have Mathura, Dwaraka, Vrindavan. So for a certain class of person, Varanasi, Kashi is considered supreme. So a certain class of person, they consider Lord Shiva to be supreme. Vaishnavas, Gauriya Vaishnavas, they offer all respect to Lord Shiva, understanding his great position as a great Vaishnava. If we say that the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan is even to be aspired for by Lord Shiva, that is, or that, in other words, that Lord Shiva's devotion is not on the level of Lord of the Vrajavasis, that doesn't mean that there's anything lacking in Lord Shiva, or that we shouldn't beg benediction from him so that we can advance in devotional service. He's a great devotee. We shouldn't think, if we hear descriptions that someone is a greater devotee, that doesn't mean that those whose consciousness in love of Krishna is not as concentrated or as thick, we shouldn't think that there's something lacking in them or that there's anything to be criticized in them. That would be a great mistake. That would be very offensive. So Lord Shiva, we're always to offer our obeisance to him. Especially as it's Shivratri, so I'm speaking on this topic. Traditionally all Hindus, again, for want of a better term, would fast and stay up all night. Not the Vaishnavas of Ramanuja Sampradaya. They don't have anything to do with demigods. never different attitude altogether. But generally all Hindus who are not really sure who's God and doesn't really matter to them that much, they just worship whoever's around and hope for the best. Get your blessings wherever they're coming from. So this kind of Hindu, and especially the Shaivas, of course, those who consider themselves particularly attached to Lord Shiva, they fast and observe night vigil. They stay up all night doing worship of Lord Shiva. I was saying in Tamil Nadu there are many Shiva kshetras, but actually all over India, everywhere. Just as there are Vishnu kshetras all over India, so all over India, everywhere you'll find. In the far north is the famous the Kedarnath, and there are the Jyotirlingas, and then there are the, let's see, that's at Chidambaram is at Akash Linga, and everywhere you'll find there are important places connected with Lord Shiva. Some huge lingas, that one, in, at least one I can think of in Andhra Pradesh, just a little south of Vijayawada. No, not Sri Sailam. It's not a huge linga, but Sri Sailam. That's an important Shiva Kshetra in Andhra Pradesh, but I was thinking of another one, which name I can't remember. Near Guntur, No, Kalahasti, not Kalahasti. That's near to Tirupati. It's near to Guntur. You don't. It's too far away for you to even think about. So I just can't remember. Huge. He has to go up by steps to do the put the water. Huge Shiva. So you're good. Like that. So, going on with this. The non-distinction is established by the fact that just as milk treated with acid turns into curd, so Godhead becomes a subservient when he himself attains a distinct personality by the addition of a particular element of adulteration. So, that's clear, right? Everything understood? You have to read the translation. What's literally being said is that just as milk, if some acidic substance, tamarind is commonly used to curdle, not exactly curdle milk, but to convert it into yogurt, so it becomes a distinct entity. It's distinctly, although it remains nothing but milk, but still it's distinctly different from milk. So in the same way, Godhead becomes a subservient. That the same Godhead has a distinctly different personality. So Shiva is a distinctly different person to Vishnu. This personality has no independent initiative. In other words, Lord Shiva is also under the control of Govinda. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arshab Bhritta Jare Joiche Nachai Tare Toiche Kare Nritta. Krishna is the only supreme controller. And all others are his servants. All others dance according to his order, in the way he makes them dance. The said adulterating principle is constituted of a combination of the stupefying quality of the deluding energy, the quality of non-plenitude of the marginal potency, and a slight degree of the ecstatic cum cognitive principle of the plenary spiritual potency. I hope they translated that nicely. So what's being said here, to put it into hopefully more easy terms, is just as If something is added to milk, a specific additive is added that will convert into yogurt. So what is it that is... And, but it's when you say added, it doesn't mean that Vishnu becomes more. It's called here an adulterating principle. That means it becomes less. By adding something, it becomes less. By adding a lighted match to a stack of 1,000 rupee notes, they become less in value. By oxidizing iron, it becomes less valuable. Of course, there are different oxides of iron, but rust is less valuable than iron. Something's added to it, but it becomes less. So what is it that is known as Vishnu, but with some element of additive that of course, Vishnu can never be adulterated as such, but it's said like that. It's just said like, conventionally it's said like that. So what is that? There are three factors in the consciousness of Shambhu or Shiva, which mixed, and they constitute his personality different from that of Vishnu. So one of the factors is the stupefying quality of the deluding energy. That means Maya. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. The Durga, his the influence of his own wife. The influence of illusion is there. Material illusion. The quality of non-plenitude of the marginal potency. So the marginal potency, that's jiva. There's the element of the jiva in him, which is non-plenitude, that means not equal to Vishnu. And a slight degree of the ecstatic cum, cognitive principle of the plenary spiritual potency. And a slight degree of the chit and ananda of Vishnu. So all of these three are present in Lord Shiva. And that makes him different to Vishnu. Of course, in Lord Vishnu, there's also chit and ananda, but in full. In Lord Shiva, not in full, slight degree. But there's also the influence of the deluding energy and some measure. He's not a jiva, but there's some attribute similar to that of the jiva. So, continuing the purport, this specifically adulterated reflection of the principle of the subjective portion of the divinity is Sadashiva in the form of the effulgent masculine symbol god Shambhu, from whom Rudra Dev is manifested. So, in other words, that Lord Shiva, who's he's a reflection of the divinity. He's that due to that mixture of those three qualities. He's not the full divinity, but he's a reflection of that in a specific way. Is known as Sadashiv. And then Shambhu is the particular name of Shiva, the form by which he, Ahambija Pradapita, by which he injects the jivas into the material energy. The Lord Shiva is generally worshipped as a linga with the yoni. The linga means the male sexual organ, and the yoni is the female sexual organ. So Lord Shiva is worshipped like this because he injects the jivas, just like the male injects the semen, via the semen, injects the one jiva into the female sexual organ. Lord Shiva does for all of them, all at once, into the material energy. So he has a touch with the material energy. Therefore, he's not fully Shiva. So that form, there's Sadashiv, is the original principle of Shiva. That manifests, that from him manifests Shambhu, and from him, from Shambhu, there are so many forms of Rudra. There are various Rudra forms. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport that wherever we see something terrible or violent, there's the manifestation of the Rudra principle. So if you see a hurricane, or you see an atom bomb exploding, or even someone's just violently, uncontrollably angry, these are all manifestations of Rudra. Rudra is manifest there. So, continuing the purport, in the work of mundane creation as the material cause, in the work of preservation by the destruction of sundry asuras, and in the work of destruction to conduct the whole operation, Govinda manifests himself as Guna Avatar in the form of Shambhu, who is the separated portion of Govinda imbued with the principle of his subjective plenary portion. Yeah, so Lord Shiva is present in all phases of, although he's generally known to be particularly connected with destruction, he's there in all phases, just as his wife is there in all phases, creation, maintenance, destruction. Srishti, Sthiti, Pralaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Reka, Chayeva yasya bhuvanani bibharati durga ichhana rupam api yasya cha cheshtate sa govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, she, because she is the material energy, she is intimately involved with the creation, maintenance and destruction of it, and Lord Shiva also. So, as Lord Shiva as the material cause. Now, the cause of all causes is Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. He's the cause of all causes. But he manifests himself in various forms which become intermediate causes. So, the material cause of the mundane creation, we can say Vishnu is ultimately everything, but at the same time, we don't generally identify Vishnu with anything material. At the same time, nothing can be different from Vishnu. So, specifically, Vishnu manifests himself as Shiva, as the material cause of the mundane creation, the ingredients. Mm. And in the work of destruction, particularly Shiva is famous for his Tandava Nritya, for his terrible dancing. By his dancing, everything is destroyed. In the work of preservation, well, that's Vishnu's work, but destroying of various asuras. Vishnu sometimes, one of the functions of preservation is destruction. They're intimately linked. To preserve order, you have to destroy the bad elements. That's if there's violence in the state, the government will be blamed for being, if there are robbers and thieves roaming around and just wantonly looting people's houses, setting them on fire, the government will be blamed for not preserving law and order, not preserving the peace. So the government has to preserve the peace by punishing the bad elements. So from time to time Vishnu personally comes, paritranaya sadhanam vinashyate dushkritam. But otherwise generally he does so via Lord Shiva. The destruction principle, that is Lord Shiva. He destroys. And in the form of death, that's also the... So he's involved in by destroying, he's involved in preserving. And in destruction, he conducts the whole operation. That's particularly under him, but he's also active in creation and preservation. So Shambhu is the separated portion of Govinda, imbued with the principle of his subjective plenary portion. So he is a separated portion of Govinda, but he is given power to perform such acts as destroying the universe from Govinda himself, or more specifically, the subjective plenary portion of Govinda. That will, from Govinda, the original form of Godhead, comes Balaram, then Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, in so many chatter vyuhas, and down to the Mahavishnu, and Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Shiradaksha Vishnu, and these Purusha avatars, they imbue the Shambhu with the power to destroy. The personality of the destructive principle, I hope this is somewhat clearer. The personality of the destructive principle in the form of time has been identified with that of Shambhu by scriptural evidences that have been adduced in the commentary. I'm not sure which commentary that refers to. Krishna is time. When Arjuna asked, Krishna seeing him as the Vishvarupa, the universal form, he asked, "Who are you?" "Kalosmi, Kshaya. I've come, I'm time in the form of destruction." So Krishna is ultimately that principle, but that is, destruction is Shiva. Just for instance, in Mahabharata, that's related how after the battle of Kurukshetra was over, the Kaurava forces were destroyed. Only Duryodhana was alive and just about, and also Kripa, Kritavarma, and Ashvatthama were alive. So they're all dead, practically. And Ashvatthama saw one owl attack some smaller birds while they were sleeping and kill them all. So he got an idea to do the same to the sleeping Pandava troops. So he entered the Pandava tents, the tent city, where the Pandava forces, those who were still alive, were sleeping. But he saw some massive figure covered in blood and looking like death personified. And Ashvatthama fought with him, and all of Ashvatthama's weapons were destroyed. And then that personality gave him more weapons and imbued him with power. That personality was Lord Shiva, who gave Ashvatthama the power to go and just very quickly kill all the remaining Pandava forces except the Pandavas themselves and one or two others, Satyaki and some others. So he specifically he entered into Ashvatthama and empowered him to destroy. So, yeah, time. Time is also destroying. Time is destroying everything. We don't see. The hidden destroyer. America's greatness is going down. What should the Americans do to stop this? They cannot. There's an enemy which, even if they got all their bombs and all their bombs together, can't stop it. All their computers together can't stop it. It's called time. Of course, if they stop killing cows and start chanting Hare Krishna, then their situation will be much better. But if they don't, then time, in the form of destruction, will overcome them. So many great empires have been there. Come and gone, come and gone, come and gone. But foolish people, they can't see this. They think, we shall live forever. Sheshasthavara icchanti kimascharyam atah param. Those who have not yet died, they want to go on living. What is more amazing than this? The purport of the Bhagavata shlokas, viz. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, etc. There are others also, praising Lord Shiva, is that Shambhu, in pursuance of the will of Govinda, is a very important point. He's not acting independently. He's Parameshwar, but not acting independently. He acts in pursuance of the will of Govinda. Works in union with his consort, Durga Devi, by his own time energy. He teaches pious duties, dharma, as stepping stones to the attainment of spiritual service in the various tantra shastras, etc., suitable for jivas in different grades of the conditional existence. Yeah, so Lord Shiva, as he works with his wife Durga, to oversee the material world, and he teaches people in various stages how they can come to the spiritual level. People at different levels, he gives them instructions. In obedience to the will of Govinda, Shambhu maintains and fosters the religion of pure devotion by preaching the cult of illusionism, Mayavad, and the speculative Agama Shastras. So, this is a very interesting statement, that under the order of Govinda, and actually we find that, Srila Prabhupada quotes that in his Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, that from Padma Purana it's explained how Narayana orders Lord Shiva to preach Mayavadam asatchastram prachandam buddhamuchate. The Mayavad, which is asat shastra, which is wrongly presented as shastra, which is covered Buddhism. Mayaiva kalpita devi kalo brahmana rupina. I do this, Lord. He tells his wife, Lord Shiva tells his wife, I do this in the form of a brahmana in Kali Yuga under the order of Narayana. So this actually fosters the religion of pure devotion in an indirect way. Well, that's a big discussion, how that's done so. One reason, one thing is that Lord Shiva as Shankara, Adi Shankara, Shankaracharya, by preaching this Mayavad, this idea that the jiva is Ishvara or attains the position of the Supreme Lord or is the same, by doing so, by preaching this imaginative philosophy, he gives shape to the latent envious nature of the jiva who wants to be one with God. He gives a philosophy for that. And by doing so, he separates, he gives a medium by which the devotees and the grossly envious are separated. Those who are grossly envious, they become Mayavadis. And those who are not, they become Vaishnavas. And it also gives a platform for preaching actual Vaishnavism, because everyone in this world is under the wrong idea that we are all God, and specifically I am God, Ishwaroham. Everyone has this wrong understanding, so by making it into a philosophy, Lord Shiva or Shankaracharya gives a platform by which the Vaishnavas can come and tear it apart and show, no, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. The actual fact is that Vishnu is supreme and we are all his servants. Here also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refers to the speculative Agama Shastras. Here in Tamil Nadu, those who are devotees of Lord Shiva, they refer to the Shaiva Agamas, and they think this is Shastra. But they're the only ones who accept it. No one else accepts it. It's not on the level of Shruti, but they think it is. They think this is the real thing. So that separating the wheat from the chaff. The 50 attributes of individual souls are manifest in a far vaster measure in Shambhu, and 5 additional attributes not attainable by jivas are also partly found in him. Partly found in him. Satchidananda, partly. The jiva can attain that position not on the level of Vishnu, but Shiva can attain that more. To create and maintain universes, yes, Shiva can do that, partly, not fully, because he does it under the direction of Lord Vishnu. So Shambhu cannot be called a jiva, because he has certain attributes that the jivas cannot have. But at the same time, he cannot be called the Supreme Lord, because he lacks some attributes that only Vishnu has. For instance, only Vishnu can give liberation directly. Lord Shiva gives liberation. People go to Kashi to die, because if I go there, I'll be liberated if I die there. But how is that? Lord Shiva gives them liberation. How does he give it? People are dying. He comes and says, when they're dying, he comes to them and says, Rama, Rama, Rama. By giving the name of Lord Rama, he liberates them. He is Lord of the Jiva, but yet partakes of the nature of a separated portion of Govinda. So there many, 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 many things could be said about Lord Shiva. But I just went through this purport briefly now. And if there are any questions about that, you can ask now. Yeah. Vishnu appears as many avatars to protect the devotees, yeah. To kill the demons, yeah. Well, we don't talk about avatars of Shiva. Sometimes that's said about Shankaracharya, but he doesn't have different pastime forms. As Vishnu appears as Matsya, Kurama, Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, and so on. But Lord Shiva, he doesn't have pastime forms like this. He's not the original supreme enjoyer. He expands in many forms, no doubt. But even we don't talk about the Leela of Lord Shiva. It's not exactly the same thing. Leela means one who's the enjoyer, or one who's partaking in the activities of Lord Vishnu's Leela. That may also be called Leela. But technically Leela refers to Vishnu only. And Lord Shiva is also acting on the order of Lord Narayana, but it's some work in the material world. It's not, his activities are not specifically for his own enjoyment, as those are, as the activities of Vishnu. Then anything else? Some question from over there? Yeah. What are the instructions of our acharyas in regard to celebrating Shivaratri? Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is Vaishnava Smriti, or the directions for what Vaishnavas are supposed to do, it's said to follow Shivaratri. Optional. But generally, Radhashtami is not described there. Shivaratri is. That was very early in the Sampradaya. And that was written, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says it's also influenced by some smarter idea. Not that Gopal Bhatta, who compiled it, was a smarter, but to gain legitimacy among the strongly smarter dominated society of the time. So it can be observed, but generally Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't observe. If they do observe, they don't observe it in the same way that Shaivas do. Well, there are different kinds of Shaivas. A lot of them sit around smoking ganja. So Vaishnavas don't do that. A few years ago, I was in Dhaka, Bangladesh, on Shivaratri. And the temple we have there was, the land was given to us. It's like a Govindaya Namaha kind of giving, because the official owner of the property couldn't get it anyway. It was encroached completely. But anyway, that was the Shiva temple, Shiva and Kali temple. So the ISKCON devotees, they took that property and they have a Jagannath temple there. The Shiva temple is still there. So many people come on Shivaratri for worshipping Lord Shiva. So devotees, they do kirtan all day in front of him. They should just chant Hare Krishna, but they chant all, at least when I was there, they were chanting all kinds of other things also, but that's another story for another day. So, on this day, if there's any local Shiva temple you can go, many people will be going. Take a book table, Lord Shiva will be very pleased. Please sell books. Every Purnima, devotees go to Tiruvannamalai. Isn't it? There's people come to do parikrama at that Shiva temple, and many of Srila Prabhupada's books are sold there. So undoubtedly, Lord Shiva is most pleased with the activities of the devotees who are selling Srila Prabhupada's books than he is even with the people who are coming to do parikrama. Do they do, they presumably do in the same direction that we do. They don't do in the other direction. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's said that one should perform parikrama to Lord Shiva, half parikrama only. I guess that means you do half and then you come back again. Or what does it mean? That means parikrama means, the literal meaning of the word is to go all around. So maybe that means not to do it at all, I don't know. This is different. For four times of Vishnu, for half for Lord Shiva. Yeah, there'll be so many questions about Shiva. In one ISKCON temple, there was fasting because they said he's a Vaishnava Acharya. Yeah, but we should worship as our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada has given, in the ISKCON temple. If someone at home wants to do some observance for Lord Shiva, worshipping him as a great Vaishnava, then they may do. But as an ISKCON temple, it's better that we follow the standards given by Srila Prabhupada. Like that, if we're given a temple and they're and there's a Shiva temple there, we may take it, and then we'll also wear that. I mean, apart from Shivratri and ISKCON Dhaka, in that center, they do daily puja of Lord Shiva. They offer bhog to Jagannath and then to Shiva. So we don't disrespect him, but we don't go out, we don't specially make any arrangement for daily worship of him. In one sense, there's no harm, but on the other hand, if once you start encouraging it, then everyone will just become demigod worshippers, and they'll worship Vishnu and Durga and Kali and Sai Baba and everyone, because people in general don't have much discrimination. And the whole point of Maam Ekam Sarvadhaman Parityaja Maam Ekam Sharanam Raja, that will be lost. I can't say that we shouldn't worship Lord. I mean, definitely. Rather, we're told we should worship Lord Shiva. But on the other hand, if we encourage it, then people will just take it. They won't take it in the proper perspective. And then in the name of Krishna consciousness, we'll just have a complete mishmash. Yeah, and in some ISKCON temple, they have Shivaratri, and others, they celebrate India's Republic Day in America. I heard in one temple they have India's Republic Day is celebrated. They sing Jai Hind in the temple. It's insane. It's nonsense. The Golden Temple, they sing Jai Hind and all this. Republic Day celebrations, yeah. How far do you go along with local customs? I was in Bangkok in Thailand for some time. We had an ISKCON center. Still there's some ISKCON center there. It's slow work. So as in every other building in Thailand, except maybe the Muslims in the south who don't like the status quo, we had a picture of the king and queen of Thailand in the house. Not in the temple room itself, but if you enter the hall, I mean, it was a small building. So we had that. That's just expect. If you don't have that, people think there's something very wrong in Thailand. So we had it. We can also respect the king and queen. They're, I mean, apart from being meat eaters, and I mean, but they're somewhat respectable people. If you get what I mean, like the Queen of England, she's not following Vaishnava principles exactly, but she's a respectable aristocratic person. I'm sure if Srila Prabhupada met her, he'd give her due respect. So we can respect respectable people even of the material world, and Lord Shiva is the most respectable person in the material world, and he's great Vaishnava also. He has a function in the material world. Sanatana Goswami offered, and all the Brahmins present, they just naturally offered respect to Nawab Hussain Shah, who was a rogue. He was in the position of a king, so it's understood that one who has a respectable position that's given by God, Naranang Chandaradhipam, Krishna says in Gita, among men I am the king. So certainly we respect all the demigods, and Lord Shiva more so as being a great Vaishnava. Not all the demigods are great Vaishnavas. According to Gaudiya understanding, according to Madhva understanding, they are. So there are some differences there. But that doesn't mean, that we go out of our way to make any special respect for them. If we're going past a Shiva temple, often we'll go inside and bow down. But we generally don't make any special endeavor to do so. We may do so on certain occasions, just like we're planning in May to go to Nasik and from there to Triambakeshwar, which is an ancient, famous temple of Lord Shiva. So we'll go there and we'll do Harinam and have talk about Lord Shiva like that. In a Vaishnava sense, we'll do that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was visiting South India, he visited not only Vishnu temples, other temples also. But he didn't institute the worship of Lord Shiva among his followers. There is, of course, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to Puri, he also stopped in Bhuvaneshwar and visited the many. Bhuvaneshwar is the name of Lord Shiva, and that city is named after him because there's the famous Lingaraj temple. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited that, and all the pilgrims from Bengal to Puri up to the present day, the system is you go on foot, you're walking, and then you enter Sri Kshetra, or Sri Khetra in Oriya, and that begins at Bhuvaneshwar, and you first take darshan of Lord Shiva, then you go to take darshan of Lord Jagannath in Puri. So that system is being followed. In Puri there's also an ancient Shiva temple, Lokanath temple in Puri. So not so many people visit there as they finish as Jagannath. The Jagannath and Lokanath, basically the two words mean the same thing. But Jagannath is Vishnu and Lokanath is Shiva. And Shiva is generally known as Vishwanath, which means the same as Jagannath. But still, Jagannath we know is Vishnu. And Vishwanath is also Vishnu, but generally that name is with Shiva. So should we encourage worship of Lord Shiva? Yeah, go to the Shiva temple and distribute books. Do kirtan, that's the best way to worship him. Regular worship, I don't see that any of our acharyas, they very much encourage that. Sanatan Goswami would come daily to Vrindavan, which there are four Shiva temples there, the Kshetrapal, they protect Vrindavan. Bhuteshwar, I can't remember which one is it he would visit. Gopishwar, of course. Yeah. So, may do, but not much recommended from my side. As I just see, it's very, very difficult to get. The thing is that even devotees, if they start to worship demigods, including Shiva, then they start to get into that demigod, Hinduish kind of consciousness. And their attention becomes diverted from Krishna. Then they'll pray to Shiva for some special boon, and there's no end to it. Yeah, you had a question.
During the time of Mahapraya, Mahayana also described R is Ketanaka. And then Purvakusumara.
During the time of Mahapralaya, is what destroyed?
Mahishdham.
No, Mahishdham is not destroyed. Sorry? What did he say? Yeah, Lord Shiva, there's eternal Lord Shiva. It's not that there's a new Lord Shiva every time. What is the necessity of so many universes? You give the answer. Why did you come here? It's created for you. It's created for you and me to pretend to enjoy. What's the necessity of the material universes? Because we're all rascals, that's why. The answer is our material desires. It's a bit off the subject. Question?
There are many famous temples of Shiva. Then there is one Vaishnava region inside the temple.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Is very small.
Yeah. Well, in Tamil Nadu you'll find that. There are many Shiva temples with a smaller Vishnu temple inside. Even there's that one Divya Desham became covered by the Ekambareshwara temple in Kanchi. Why is that? I can only speculate, but I think it's pretty good speculation that The Shaiva kings who wanted to establish that Shiva is supreme, they deliberately did like that in an attempt to show that that Vishnu is inferior to Shiva. And generally, yeah, you'll find in all Shiva temples, there's big temples, at the side there's a small shrine of Vishnu.
And what happens to the great devotees of Shiva?
What happens to the great devotees of Shiva? Well, yang vapi smaran bhavam tyajyante kalevram. If you think of Shiva, you go to Shiva. What happens to them? Shiva has his ganas, the bhut, preet, all these ghostly people. He's surrounded by ghostly people. Not only ghostly people, he's consorting with Parvati, and she has there are so many women all around. So, but that's not the eternal position. The eternal position is Jiva Surupoi Krishna Nityadas. So, the eternal position is to be a servant of Krishna, but you might get stuck up in Maheshdham if you aim for there. Don't aim for there. Don't go. Don't aim to go there. Yeah, someone else? Yeah.
You mean many jewels of
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They also perform devotions of these, like also
the Nayanmas of Tamil Nadu. They appear to be doing exactly the same thing as the Alvars, the Vaishnavas, but their object of worship was Shiva. Yes. So? Many people are confused that it's all the same. You worship Shiva or Vishnu, it's all the same. But it's not. It's not all the same. How we can prove, according to Shastra? It's very clear from Shastra that Vishnu is supreme. They'll prove by their Shaiva agamas. But who accepts that? Only themselves. How can that be? That's not proof. If anyone, just like in Swaminarayan Sampradaya in Gujarat, they have their books, they have their own Shastra, but only they accept it. Then what proof is that? Veda is accepted by all great acharyas. This Shaiva Agamas that the Nayanmas refer to, that's only accepted in the Tamil community. And not by all Tamils also. So how can that be considered authoritative? What else is there? There's also Shiva Purana, which says Shiva is supreme. But then you have to see Tattva Sandarbha, why Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted as supreme. Or you just come to Bhagavad Gita. Everyone except Gita are supreme, except maybe Arya Samaja, which just came up in the 19th century. From Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear Krishna is supreme. There's also that narration in Bhagavatam. Bhrigu Muni was deputed to see who is supreme, Brahma, Vishnu, or Mahesh. So we see that Vishnu is completely showing his nature is that of pure goodness, Brahma of passion, and Shiva of ignorance. So, if you think that destruction is the supreme factor, then you can consider Shiva supreme. Some people do. Some people think if you can destroy, that shows you're the most powerful. Who reads it? Huh? Who reads it? If you read it.
If we read the history, they also give the Anagraha Dasa,
They say like that, but that they should be without any personal desire, they should just worship Lord Shiva. But they got the wrong object of love. Lord Shiva is not the ultimate object of love, because he himself is worshipping a higher person. You can say anyabhilashita shunyam about anyone. So, I mean, there's so much mundane poetry in which someone, a young man, approaches a young woman and says, I love you forever, and this and that. But it's the wrong object of love. So Lord Shiva is not the ultimate object of love. That point came up. He doesn't have all these lila pastimes. Lord Vishnu has so many pastimes for reciprocating with his devotees. But Lord Shiva, he doesn't have pastimes like that. He's just he's meditating most of the time. So what are you going to do? Just look at him, that's all. Can't clothe him because he doesn't wear any clothes practically. Or what are you going to do? Put some skulls on him? Offer him some more skulls? Offer him a garland of what? Skulls? So you can say anyabhilashita shunyam in relation to Lord Shiva, but we'll offer Krishna's flowers and fruits, and to Shiva you have to offer skulls. That's not very nice. That's tamaguna. Yeah, I've seen some of them. Like someone offers he kills an animal and offers it to Lord Shiva, and then he's saying, "Why isn't he coming?" And then Lord Shiva personally comes, and it seems like it's selfless devotion, but it's in the mode of ignorance actually. Yeah, you should write some book about it. Who is supreme? Is there? That's the beginning.